Welcome to the Know the News podcast, and I am your host, Rusty Turner. I'm the editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. As some of you may already know, I am retiring in a few days after a four-decade career covering news in this region. Today will be my last podcast as your host. So today, instead of talking about what's coming up in this weekend's edition of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and River Valley Democrat Gazette, we're going to take a look back at the last 40 years of journalism in our region. And that's today on the Know the News podcast. I'm going to be joined today by a number of my colleagues from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette newsroom, and we're going to talk about their memories of the big stories they've covered, the changes in the region that we've all seen, and maybe even dish a little of the inside scoop from our world of journalism. And I'm going to let each of them, it's not that I don't know them, but I'm going to let each of them introduce themselves and talk a little bit about how long they've been in the market. And we're going to start with the folks in the studio. One of them is Flip Putoff. He's our outdoor editor and photographer.
Hello.
So, Flip.
Yeah, Flip Putoff, photographer here, and do our outdoor section every week. So, just enjoy both jobs. Been here since 1980.
So Flip will be the only one on the podcast who's been around longer than me. So anyway, and Doug, why don't you go next?
Doug Thompson, state politics reporter for the paper, and other duties as assigned, whatever needs doing, basically. I'm the young guy. I've been here since 1998.
All right. And Greg, your turn.
Greg Harton. I'm the editorial page editor here for the newspaper. Been here, native Arkansan, but I've been here in Northwest Arkansas since 1996.
All right. So, and on the phone, we've got a couple of our colleagues. Becca, you're next.
Hi, I'm Becca Martin Brown. I'm the features editor, and I've been with all the various iterations of this newspaper, starting with the Springdale News, since 1988.
All right.
I was six.
All right. And also with us on the phone is Dave Porozik. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Dave Porozik, one of two Metro editors at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and started with the Bend County Daily Record back in 2008.
All right. So, and of course, I'm Rusty Turner. I'm the editor. I've been in the market since 1983. I started as a reporter and sports writer in the old Rogers Northwest Arkansas Morning News. I was editor of the Morning News and have been editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette for the last 8 years. So that's who I am. That's my perspective. So, and I mentioned this just before we started, you know, we've all worked together. Everybody on this call, have worked together for the last 13 years. But that's not always been the case. we all were at one time competitors at various levels, when we came into the market. So that was kind of interesting as we all got together and got to be part of one big happy family after all those years. So, I remember the first time, I met several of you folks, was just before the merger. And, it was very interesting to me to meet these folks we've been competing against for all those years and put names with faces and find out, hey, they're really nice folks. Well, I really enjoy getting to know them. So, anyway.
So. Yeah, it's taken us this long, but we're finally putting you out of a job.
So,
yeah, if one thing can be said about the newspaper business, it's been right there alongside all of Northwest Arkansas. I mean, it has changed like crazy, and yeah. So has Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, very dramatic changes. So, and then a couple of you, like Doug and Becca, because Becca was, I think you were with the Daily Record before you came to the Morning News. Is that right?
I was.
Yeah. So
you were the Daily Democrat then in Bentonville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, some of us have worked both sides of the street, but
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
So,
anyway. Let me tell a story about the old days involving the Benton County Daily Record.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
The Rogers paper was a morning paper. the Bentonville paper was an afternoon paper. And one of the things that routinely happened in that newsroom was we picked up the obits as they were reported in the Rogers paper, which didn't turn out very well when one of them was a fake obit.
Yes, I recall this. So, yeah.
I believe that put an end to that practice in the Benton County Daily Democrat newsroom.
And I can tell you from the Rogers newspaper side of it, it put an end to accepting obits from people who just walked in with it without verifying with a funeral home. That was the last time that ever happened. So, and that was
One of those things that you would never think about happening in a newsroom, but it did.
Yeah,
a fake obit.
Well, and I do recall in those early days, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but you know we were perhaps because it was Rogers was kind of a small town newspaper, Bentonville was a small town newspaper in those days. You just that sort of thing happened all the time. Somebody brought in a an obituary or a birth announcement or something like that, and you just ran it because you know these were your friends and neighbors, and you just knew it would be okay, and until it wasn't.
Exactly, and people walked in every day with something.
Yeah. I'll tell another story involving the Benton County Daily Record in the Northwest Arkansas Morning News as well. So one of our colleagues, Kent Martz, was the editor of the Daily Record at the same time I was the editor of the Morning News in Rogers. And one day I was in the Rogers office and a woman came in to speak to us, and it turns out she was a psychic, and she had come to Northwest Arkansas because she wanted to help solve an unsolved murder. There was a young lady named Dana Stidham whose body was found in the woods, and to this day I don't think the case has ever been resolved. But anyway, she had read about it, and she just, as a lark, came to town, and she was attempting to help the police as a psychic solve the crime. And she just went on and on and on, and it didn't take very long for me to realize that she really wasn't all there. And it took me quite a while to get her out of the newsroom, and that was the end of that. Years later, after the merger, and Kent Martz and I were working together, Kent confessed that this woman had gone to the Daily Record first, and about 5 minutes into her presentation, he said, "You know, I think the Rogers paper would be really interested in that." So,
hey, as far as people bringing stuff into the newsroom, I remember, as a photographer back then, people would bring their big watermelons in and their potatoes and their big fish, wanting us to take a picture of it. And we did,
Of course. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Many times. I remember many times going out to the parking lot, take a picture of an enormous fish or an odd shaped vegetable or fruit.
This potato looks like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
There were also people that were frequent visitors to the offices, and you'd be amazed how fast an entire newsroom could empty.
Yes. That is correct as well. So, so let's talk about some of the big stories that we've seen. I mean, it's been I've been in the market 40 years. Most of you have been in the market at least 20, if not more. And there's, as Greg pointed out, lots of changes. So what are some of the stories are really memorable to you that we've covered over the years that really made a difference in the community? And I'll just let anybody jump in here.
Well, I remember when the Walton Arts Center was a big hole on the corner of West Avenue and Dixon Street, and nobody thought it would ever be built.
Yep, I recall that as well.
Yeah, the Walton Arts Center has had lots of drama.
Yeah.
And not always on stage.
Today.
The Walton Arts Center has been a great, really, really kind of laid the foundation of what is today the arts and culture community of Northwest Arkansas. But it's been in the middle of some controversy in terms of, in the, 2010, something in that ballpark, they were talking about building a whole new arts center up in Bentonville, the Walton Arts Center.
Right.
Not relocating so much, but building another facility in Bentonville. When the Walton said, if we're going to have one, if we're going to be the lead, donor on those things, we would like it to be in Bentonville. And boy, that set off just a probably about 2 years of just controversy in Fayetteville. You know, there was even the point of the Fayetteville City Council considered, they rejected, but they considered a litigation, you know, to essentially argue that the Walton Arts Center, which was created between the city, the Waltons, and the
city of Fayetteville,
yeah, the Waltons and the University of Arkansas, they were the three entities that kind of joined, created that. And, you know, the city was going to try to argue that they could not legally, you know, build someplace else. And so, I mean, it was quite the drama. And, just over the years, I don't know that they ever officially put a pin in it that said, we're not going to build one in Bentonville. But there was a point where the Walton Family Foundation essentially said, that's not in our future plans right now. And, and so it, you know, and Fayetteville invested a lot of money in the Walton Arts Center to expand down there. And so we're still having a lot of great productions down there. And, of course, the AMP moved from Fayetteville up to Rogers. You know, arts and culture has just continued to expand like crazy in Northwest Arkansas.
Well, and you I think it was about the time that the plans for the Momentary came into being that the Family Foundation eventually said, you know, we're a new Walton Arts Center performance space is not really in our plans. And much of that, of course, happened after Crystal Bridges became a reality, which is, you know, one of the most significant things to have happened in Northwest Arkansas in the 40 years I've been around. I remember talking to a number of people from Bentonville at the time when the plans had been announced, but the facility hadn't been built yet. And I remember saying to a number of people, it is a game changer and you don't really have any sense of what it's going to do. And that turned out I was right about that. there's some things I've predicted I haven't been right about, but that was one I was right about. So just the downtown in Bentonville, the trails, everything that goes into the area around Crystal Bridges has been quite monumental in the development of Northwest Arkansas.
I'd like to say
feel like I ought to say, though, that yeah, there are a lot of arts organizations that have been around. The Fort Smith Symphony is getting ready to celebrate its 100th season. So arts and culture didn't happen with the Art Center, with the Walton Arts Center or Crystal Bridges. It's been here all along. The Art Center of the Ozarks survived for half a century, and Arkansas Public Theater has been around for 30-some years. So arts and culture goes way back in our roots in Northwest Arkansas.
Doug, go ahead. What were you?
I was going to say, all the towns are bigger and better than they were when I got here. I mean, it's you know, but
that depends on who you ask.
Yeah,
depends on who you ask. Yeah. But here's my point on that. Fayetteville is still recognizably the same city as it was when I got here. Springdale is, you know, making some beautiful downtown improvements, but it's still recognizably the same city and same thing as Rogers. Bentonville is a different town than it was when I got here. When I got here, it was a sleepy little company town. Now it's an arts center with one of the nation's most respected museums right in the middle of it. And all this, the arts and the culture, yes, we've always had, it's always been part of the life up here, but it is all and everything else is related to the growth. It's a bigger place. I remember when I first got here, and this was 1998. This was, you know, years after, you know, you two were up here. It struck me how people in Fayetteville didn't really care what happened in Springdale, and people in Springdale, they really didn't care that much what happened in Rogers and on up the line to Bentonville and stuff like that. And I remember thinking, these towns act like they're 20 miles apart. And then I slapped my forehead and realized, well, duh, it wasn't that long ago. They were 20 miles apart, you know. And now it's all one great big urbanized area.
Yeah.
Big by Arkansas standards, anyway.
Yeah. We had a former publisher at the Morning News, a fellow named Gene Kinsey, who used to say, when we would talk about the communities growing together and acting as one and being, you know, being more of a single community rather than four different towns. Gene's line was always, well, you'll know it's time for that when the cows are gone.
yeah.
And yep. What he meant was the cow pastures between each town. Mm-hmm. And the cows have been gone quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But each Rusty, has you, its own I'm identity. Sorry. Each one has still has its own identity.
Yeah,
go
true.
Ahead, Becca. Sorry to cut you off.
Rusty, do you remember when the Rogers paper and the Springdale paper merged and a whole tornado broke loose because neither town cared about the other one?
Yeah, I do recall. Oh, yeah. I was the editor in Rogers, and when the merged product came along, I was the managing editor. Of course, the great Jim Morris was the executive editor. But yeah, I was we were right in the middle of that, and it was really strange that you would hear the number of people who said things like somebody in Springdale who's 5 miles away, I never go to Rogers, and somebody in Rogers saying I'll never go to Springdale. And now it's it's a very different world. Same happened in Fayetteville with Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Benton County.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I can remember. I mean, I live in Fayetteville, and I can remember the first time. My wife and I got together with another couple, and we drove to Bentonville to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a whole new experience for me because you there wasn't a reason for a while to necessarily travel that far, but there was just so much happening in Bentonville that you wanted to go up and sample it, get a little bit of a taste of it.
Well, and I've lived in Rogers for years, but it wasn't that long ago. Well, it was quite a while ago, but when we first got here, if you wanted to go have a nice dinner, you pretty much had to drive to Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to have an evening out, there just wasn't that much going on in the other communities early on, and that's certainly different now. So
one thing I remember about the Springdale Rogers merger that somebody mentioned one time, they said, well, how come y'all publish more Rogers obits than you do Springdale obits? Like, well, think about it.
Yeah.
At that point in time, if you answered your phone in the newsroom and the person on the other end was yelling, you knew what the topic was going to be.
Yeah, that was there was a lot of tension there, but it was one of those things it's sort of the battlefield mentality. You get a lot closer when you experience those things together. and all of us experienced something very similar in 2009 when Stevens Media and Waco Media put all their assets into the one company. And that's when we all became part of the one big happy family. It was, I think it drew us all closer to survive that transition because it wasn't as easy
after the shock.
Was that before or after the ice storm? Did hell freeze over before or after that?
I think the ice storm was before that. What were you going to say, Greg?
I was just saying, we all worked it out, but the shock of it was pretty strong, I think, with all of us. When that announcement was made, it was kind of like, did you just say what I think you said?
it was quite shocking. And we went from, I think we were all cordial to each other when we were out in the world. But it was, the competition was serious. And we were... it was a little difficult in the early part of that to get your heads around the idea that all of a sudden we're going to be on the same team and working together. But I think it helped to have gone through the hard times together once we got past the storm.
When you talked about doing this podcast, I went back and looked up a couple of things and I found a story. Back in 1998 that we did, this would have been at the Democrat Gazette pre any merger with anybody. But we did a story that was looking ahead and where the staff kind of outlined some of the things that we looked forward to in the future and or hoped for. We weren't sure they were going to happen, but this story talked about we've got a Barnes and Noble booksellers and a large shopping mall with Gap, Disney Store, and Victoria's Secret. We're getting a Circuit City and a Stein Mart. It predicted or hoped for a return to the 10-cent pay telephone call. And we wanted a telephone book that tells you what town a business is located in, because we were getting so many new telephone prefixes that you couldn't tell just by the prefix anymore town it was in.
Yeah.
We wanted a minor league baseball team. Mm-hmm. We checked that one off.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get a Best Buy, because about the only place you could get compact discs was at Walmart, and we were hoping for lower prices on compact discs. We were hoping, even though we're in Walmart country, we were hoping for a Target. Just imagine that. And then I thought this was funny. It says, one day maybe we can drink liquor in a restaurant on Sunday without having to buy a private club membership, or perhaps we'll be able to buy a six-pack of beer at the local Harps or IGA store instead of going to a liquor store. People attending Arkansas Traveler baseball games at Ray Winder Field in Little Rock can buy beer. Why can't we do the same at Arkansas Razorback games here? I think you can check off several of those, and the other parts of it have come and gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, We did get a Circuit City and a Stein Mart, and they've been here and gone.
Yeah. So, that's right.
I remember when Krispy Kreme came to Rogers. Yeah. Oh, that was like the big thing.
You remember the traffic? It was actually the Krispy Kreme's in Bentonville, but the traffic jams on, I mean, traffic's bad enough on Walton Boulevard in Bentonville now, but it was just, you couldn't get through. It was just awful. Yeah. So, yeah, that was another big story I think we covered. Mm-hmm. So. Growth obviously is the big story. So many aspects of the things, the work we've done over the past 40 years have been related to that. A few of those stories that we covered, I don't think people appreciate the role that they played in the growth of today. And one that constantly comes to mind is, it was one of the first projects of the Northwest Arkansas Council, and that was the Benton Washington County water system. And that was the extension of potable water from Beaver Lake into the western reaches of Benton and Washington County. Cleverly dubbed the two-ton water loop because it was in Benton and Washington County. I think that was Carol Lindsay who came up with that. But the ability to grow and develop west of what is now Interstate 49 was critical to the ability of this region to continue this explosive growth.
It's a measure of its very great success that we don't talk about. About how, oh my gosh, we can't get water at this place or that. I mean, that really is one of the, and that points out none of this growth would have happened without Beaver Lake built in the 60s. That absolutely was vital to the development of this. Within living memory was the poorest part of Arkansas. So I did want to mention that. Yeah. Two-ton, of course, drawing from Beaver Lake.
Yeah. And we know the council went on to support or even push forward a lot of the other things that have helped in the growth. Interstate 49.
Interstate 49.
Yeah. I think among some of the first stories I wrote in Rogers, and then later in Springdale, and later in Fort Smith, and then when we came back, had to do with the development of I-49, or the improvement, and that's what we called it those days, the improvement of US 71. If you've ever driven old 71 over Mount Gaylor, then you know that was not an ideal way to travel from Northwest Arkansas to the River Valley in I-40, but it was the only way to go for many, many years.
I get to tell a story about that. When I first got up here, I had to go to the legislative sessions in Little Rock, and I had to drive old 71 at night on weekends to get back home. Oh, yes. Yeah. And one night, I am quite literally driving my car up the hill with my driver's side door open to make sure I was still on the correct side of the yellow lines in a thick fog.
I share that. I have done the exact same thing.
I-49 was I-49 is a huge thing.
Yeah.
A huge thing for this whole region.
The airport is huge.
Yes.
Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
National Airport. And one of my fondest memories is the airport wasn't quite open yet, but Bill Clinton would was president, and he flew in for a visit, and it was a big deal for us to cover it for the paper.
Yeah.
So myself, photographer, and my partner at the time, Aaron Skinner, we had two photographers at the Rogers Daily News.
Yeah.
So we're out there, and we never covered a presidential visit. So we get go through the Secret Service. You know, they say, okay, you guys go back there on the riser. And they put all the media up there in like bleachers. Mm-hmm. And so when Bill Clinton came and to got off the plane, and if you were John Q. Public, you got to go right up to the front, right up to the fence, to the barrier.
Yeah.
So I noticed this and made a real good note of that. So the next Bill Clinton visit, Aaron Skinner, he went as our official photographer, dressed up real nice and credentials. And heck, I just went as John Q. Public. And I just wore jeans and a nice shirt and had one little camera and went up. And I was up in the front row. And so sure enough, man, here comes Bill Clinton down the barrier, and I mean, he's coming right for me, and I shot pictures and got a real nice picture of him with all these hands coming out to greet him. Something that, you know, you couldn't get from the riser back there, so that made a real nice picture for our paper that next day.
The first time I remember a president coming to town was when George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush, came to give Sam Walton the Medal of Freedom. It was just before Mr. Walton died, but he came to the home office in Bentonville to give him the Medal of Freedom, and it was a big deal. It was the first presidential visit. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long. Certainly the first one since I'd been around, and that was a big deal. And then we got really excited. You know, Bill Clinton got elected president, and his first vacation after he was inaugurated was to stay with his friends Jim and Diane Blair at their home in Beaver Lake, on Beaver Lake, just outside of Springdale. And so the local media was really excited. It was a presidential visit. We were going to get to cover it. I was going through my office the other day, and I found the original facts from the White House press office saying, if you want to be in the press pool when Clinton comes to town, this is what you have to do. As I said, we were really excited about it. We were going to get to cover the president. It was going to be really great. By the time they left and went home, and Air Force One went home, we could have, as far as I was concerned, he could stay in Washington,
for
D.C.
Sure.
Yeah, it was a very difficult thing to do, and it was a pain, and you know, hours and hours of waiting for no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as much fun as I thought it would be.
Well, for the photographers, they stuck us out at the intersection of a couple of gravel roads.
Yeah.
And we just had to stay there.
Yep.
And you know, if the president happened to do something, well, we could go cover it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we just had to sit there for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And we kind of, you know, had shifts, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then one evening, he finally went to HQ Chicken to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever is, you know, there's friends. And so that was like the only time we ever really got to go take pictures of him doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when he did come to the airport to dedicate. It was about a week or two after the airport actually started having flights, and he flew Air Force One, or he didn't fly it in, and some pilot did.
Yeah.
But you know, I remember going out there to cover that, and I had an early deadline to get a story done. And, of course, back then, even now, the road to the airport is not everything that the airport would like it to be.
That's true.
Back then, it was still pretty rough. And you know, I got out there on the tarmac, covered the about an hour long kind of dedication of the airport, and then he, you know, got in his car and, you know, took off toward town and to visit people and all.
Yeah.
And what I didn't plan for was that essentially the Secret Service and all of that, they just basically take control of the streets, you know, between there and his destination. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we could not get off the airport at all, and I had sit there and kind of leaned up against one of the airplane hangars out there, and just I didn't have any kind of computer or anything like that, so I just got my notepad out and started writing my story longhand, then because I thought it was going to have to dictate it, And finally the traffic broke, and I was able to get back to the newsroom, and within about 20 minutes got, you know, about a 30-inch story done. But it was same kind of thing. I'm like, I'm not sure I ever want to cover a presidential visit again.
Oh,
it's just a pain.
Yeah.
But we've had Bush here a few times before, even before he was president. I remember him coming to dedicate the Hammerschmidt building over there on North Arkansas College in Harrison. He came for that, and certainly Clinton came back several times.
Well, and George W. Bush came to Northwest Arkansas when he was near the end of his presidency, and this is one of my claims to fame. The Rogers Chamber of Commerce had some tickets to his appearance, which was at the convention center in Rogers, next to the Embassy Suites. And the Chamber of Commerce offered the newspaper some tickets to that, and I got to be one of the people who got to go to President Bush's appearance. And it was in the round, essentially. They had a stage in the middle, and then they put chairs all the way around, so he had people on four sides of him. And he came and gave a presentation, and he was very funny and engaging the way all politicians are these days, and you know, made the crowd laugh a few times. And of course, we had to get there an hour early, and we had to stay an hour later because that's the way security works. So I got to work the next morning and had a phone call from a friend of mine who's a journalist in Washington, D.C., asking me if I had seen the New York Times that morning. And I said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, let me email you something. And it was a photo he had taken of the front page of the New York Times with George W. Bush saying something in the foreground and me laughing hysterically over his shoulder. So that's how I made
it. There's your claim to fame.
That's it. Right. Yeah, I didn't make the front page of the New York Times as a reporter. I made it as somebody laughing at a politician's joke. So.
Well, y'all can be excited about presidents, but I can top you because when I covered the Walmart annual meeting the first time when I was business editor, the very first person I got to see on stage was Richard Simmons.
Oh, wow.
In spangles and stars and stripes and glitter. And it was like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, man.
I thought I was having the worst nightmare of my life. Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. So, well, Dave, you're the relative newbie here. So what kind of memories do you have of covering big stories?
Yeah, I've enjoyed listening to all your stories. Yeah, I am quite new compared to you guys. Well, you know, when you suggested the topic for this podcast, I got to thinking about some of the weirder stories we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And this story predates my time a little bit, but I'll tell it anyway because I've heard so much about it. Centerton Mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. LaRose / Williams,
mm-hmm.
who was, he was appointed Centerton's mayor in 2001. And little did anyone know at the time his backstory, which of course he'd been hiding.
Yeah.
Originally known as Don LaRose, he was. He was a pastor in New York, I believe, in the 1970s when he just suddenly disappeared and was found living in Minneapolis a few months later under this name, Bruce Kent Williams, and said he'd been kidnapped and brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
Returned to his home and then 5 years later vanished again. And then eventually turned up in Centerton somehow, was appointed mayor and, wasn't until, about 2007, I believe, that, a reporter at the Benton County Daily Record got a tip about him of someone calling to say that the mayor was a relation of his, I believe. And, so some reporters confronted the mayor about it. And among them, Tracy Neal, one of our crime and cops reporter currently, the Democrat Gazette. And initially he, you know, denied any allegations of leading a double life, but finally came clean and resigned and eventually ended up being charged with forgery and pleaded guilty to that.
Yeah.
So just a absolute shocking story. And the kind of thing that you just, you know, couldn't make that up.
Yeah. It is it is hard to imagine somebody could pull off something like that.
And today he's known as George Santos.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really him. Right. Yeah,
not really.
That's right.
No.
Yeah, so.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, there's been some really odd things that have happened here that you don't think you could make up. I had a brief background as a sports writer for a while, and I actually covered the press conference where Nolan Richardson was introduced as the coach at Arkansas. Several years later, I was the editor when one of the basketball coaches, Stan Heath, got fired, and they searched for a new one, and they hired a guy named Dana Altman from Creighton, and he got here one day and was introduced at a press conference. Had the lamest hog call I believe I've ever seen.
He struggled greatly with the hog call.
And by the next morning, he was on his way back to Creighton. He'd resigned and was going back to his old job. And that was pretty strange, too. That was one of those that you just couldn't imagine happening.
Yeah, I remember kind of in the backstage area where there's kind of a meet and greet, you know, visiting with his wife and, you know, learning about, you know, they were Methodist, I'm Methodist, and, you know, and so, well, come on down to my church, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, next day, I'm sitting there going, what?
They were not going to be transferring their membership.
So the next coach we got, I didn't have any conversations with anybody. I refused to get to know them until I knew they were going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, so.
The one story I don't want to miss telling is how dangerous journalism can be.
Okay.
One of our photographers back at the Benton County Daily Record had been sent to cover, I believe she was a county clerk or a city clerk who had been charged with embezzlement.
Yes, I recall this, yes.
And the editor told him not to come back without a good picture. So she came out the door of the Benton County Courthouse. He was right up in her face with his camera. And she had one of those old handbags with the metal frame. Beat him over the head with a handbag.
Oh, wow. I was there.
Oh,
I
did you see it happen?
Yeah, way to go. That's a great one, Becca. Thanks. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
One of the TV stations had it on film, and we watched it at every journalist party for years. Yes.
It was a god.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
I do want to say that one of the things, this region has been blessed. We haven't had a whole lot of people abscond with funds and stuff like that, comparatively speaking, to some other towns I've covered in other parts of the state.
Yeah.
It's been pretty clean living up here, but there's been some interesting cases.
Yes, certainly have been. So.
A few interesting cases.
In the old days, it truly was a small town because, you know, every once in a while, when we first got to Rogers, you know, you'd write about a news story about somebody being arrested or getting in trouble for something, and it turns out that somebody you know. It's somebody you've, you know, it's in.
That happened all the time. We got up here, and, you know, Lisa and I moved up here, and, you know, we're from Little Rock, and we were from Great Little Rock and had to, you know, fight to get things, and sometimes you weren't real nice about it and stuff like that. And every once in a while, what do you mean you can't get us that document until tomorrow? And then we'd come by and find out he's the coach of our kids' softball team.
Yeah.
that was interesting.
Yeah, I think we all have a story or two like that. Our professional obligations have put us in conflict with somebody we have to get along with in some other aspect of our life.
By the way.
Yeah,
there was a new managing editor at the paper once that, oh, I'm not supposed to tell that story.
Yeah.
Well, You know, I thought, thinking about the, you know, the progress of the the newspapers in the area, you know, when each town had its own newspaper, I thought, you know, they were all good newspapers. But now I think our paper is very much excellent newspaper.
Yeah.
And people that, you know, I'd always say, hey, if you're not reading our paper, you're really missing out.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you've all had this experience. You've had somebody who is a reader of our product, and they travel someplace else to a larger city, and they buy the local newspaper there. And what they find is something that's, you know, a third or a half as big as what they get every day from us. And they just come back and rave about, you know, I really took for granted that the newspaper I get, whether it's delivered on an iPad or on the front porch, is so much better than what they're getting in these other communities. And that's it's good news and bad news. It's good news because we are, I think, in a very difficult market, providing a great service to our readers. But it's bad news because so many other media and newspaper companies have not found a way to keep doing the same level of journalism that their readers deserve, and it's a real shame when you think about that. And I think it was Mr. Hussman's experience witnessing that in other markets that made him that kind of drove him to the decision to figure out the iPads and you know. Provide our readers with iPads if they didn't have their own device when we went to digital delivery. So I'm very proud of the work we've done and very proud of the product we put out every day.
So Rusty, let me put you on the spot.
Okay.
What's the one thing you're going to miss the most here in about a week, and the one thing you're going to miss the least?
Oh, I'm not sure I can say the thing I'm going to miss the least. It doesn't really even bother me to talk to a customer who's upset about something, a reader that's upset about something, because, you know, it gives you a chance to explain something about the way we do our work. Certainly the thing I'm going to miss the most is like this conversation we're having right here. You know, the ability to get together with other journalists and talk about the things that we do and the creative energy that's created as we talk about the stories we're going to cover. I think I'm going to miss that. And, you know, I've missed it a lot since COVID happened, and we all, you know, we went from one day working in the newsroom every day to everybody working from home for a while. We're not back yet 100% to having people in the newsroom all the time. And so I think that's what I'm going to miss the most. The least is going to be, you know, that's pretty easy. Actually, that's going to be the what you like to call, Becca, the administrivia. The paperwork and the, you know, time cards and, you know, those kinds of things that you know, seem to gulp the time that you need to do the really important stuff, like developing a story idea or working with a reporter or finding the right formula for the extra content that we're doing as far as video and audio and podcasts. So I think that it's that kind of thing that I'll miss the least, but I'm certainly going to miss the camaraderie of the newsroom and the creative energy. I think that's the best way to describe it, that comes with being in a room full of really smart, really curious people who will ask somebody anything at any time. So
we have been really fortunate to have you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll miss you too, Mr. Turner.
All right. Well, before this gets too maudlin, let's bring it to a close. It's been a lot of fun being with you guys today on the podcast and just being with you as colleagues all these years. So hope our listeners got quite a bit out of this today and have enjoyed hearing us travel down memory lane and talk about some of the things that we did. So let me tell you who our guests are before we go. Greg Harton was with us. He's our editorial page editor at the Northwest Arkansas Morning News. Flip Putoff, he's a photographer and our outdoor writer supreme. And Flip, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, if you've got a great fish story, you need to go onto our website and enter it in our fish story contest, which is ongoing right now. And Flip's cat TC will be the judge, so you don't want to miss that. So anyway, but Flip Putoff, our outdoor editor, Doug Thompson, our politics and enterprise and everything else reporter. And then also Becca Martin Brown, our features editor, who's, you know, who's also been a business reporter and written news stories and done all sorts of different things over the years. And then also Dave Porozik, one of our assignment editors, who contributed today too. So thank you all very, very much for this little trip down memory lane.
I think it's very telling that when you introduced me just a moment ago, you said I was the editorial page editor of the Northwest Arkansas Morning News.
Did I really?
If that doesn't tell you what our history what our history is.
Well, perhaps our sound tech, Spencer Tyree, who doubles as our photo editor, can fix that little error. So. Yeah.
No,
I'm not
going to
do it because that just shows your age.
All right, I'm going to get that right. I'm in the true newspaper fashion, I'm going to offer a correction. Greg Harton is the editorial page editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
There you go.
Information regarding Mr. Harton's position earlier in this podcast was incorrect. So, all right.
And you can find Greg Harton on the unemployment line.
Just be careful, Greg. He can still fire you for
another. That's right. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. So, all right. Well, thank you all very, very much. It was a great time. I've enjoyed this immensely. So, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Rusty.
Thank you. Right.
So here's a look at some other great content we've got coming your way in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Springdale experiments with artificial intelligence in traffic signals and are seeing some positive results. Lorinda Jinks will tell us more. Chinese-made drones in use by local law enforcement agencies are among those banned from use in Arkansas by the state legislature. Replacing them would be costly, and officials have no concerns about spying with those devices. Tom Sissom has that story. Al Gaspany will get us ready for high school graduation season, which gets into full swing next week. The U.S. Mountain Bike National Team now makes its home in Bentonville. Mike Jones will tell us more about that move. The Rogers City Council is preparing to adjust its ward boundaries, which could affect who's eligible for which office in the next election cycle. Doug Thompson reports. Thomas Sicente will tell us how the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith plans to spend $1 million in a grant for manufacturing programming at the school. Controversy continues to swirl around the Crawford County Library Board as it tries to determine a process to review books for objectionable content before they are made available to patrons. The board has also made a new rule that limits public comment at meetings to only people who can prove they are Crawford County residents. Thomas Sicente gives us an update. Monica Brick tells us about construction on the Interstate 540 bridge near Fort Smith and what will come next to connect Fort Smith and Van Buren over the Arkansas River. All of this and much, much more will be available to our subscribers on our website, nwaonline.com, and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, and on our tablet and smartphone apps. We are so grateful for our subscribers. Their support make it possible for us to do the important work of local journalism, which is more important today than ever. If you are not a subscriber, you should be. Please consider signing up. If you're a podcast listener and a first-time subscriber, you can get a great introductory deal by visiting nwaonline.com/podcast23. Again, that is nwaonline.com/podcast23. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or you can just call us at 479-684-5509. I'll give you that number again, 479-684-5509. Well, that's about a wrap for my last Know the News podcast. Before I go, I want to thank our wonderful newsroom staff once again for their hard work and dedication. You inspired me every day, and I'll miss our daily interactions and your friendship. But I won't miss your great work because I will continue to read the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette every single day. Thanks also to our colleagues in our other departments at the newspaper who make doing our work so much easier. Your support of the newsroom was constant and unmatched. Thanks to our market president, Brent A. Powers, for the opportunity for me to do this wonderful job for so long. I'm also grateful to Waco Media executives Mark Lane, Jay Horton, and Nat Lee for their support and encouragement over the years. Thanks also to Eliza Hussman Gaines, our new publisher at Waco, who I know will do a fabulous job. And I want to offer a special thank you to our owner and chairman, Walter Hussman. Mr. Hussman, your commitment to local journalism is unmatched in our industry. I am fortunate and proud to have finished my career in a media company that puts journalism first. It's been a blessing to me in my career and also to the community where I live. The Know the News podcast comes out weekly and is a production of the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Check back next week for a new edition of the Know the News podcast. And also, best of luck to the new hosts going forward, Dave Perozik, Becca Martin Brown, and Greg Harton. I know they'll do a great job. For me, I'm off to a new adventure. So, for the last time as your host of the Know the News podcast, this is Rusty Turner saying so long.